Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Second Age Podcast, where the Lorehounds, your guides to Tolkien's world of Middle-earth. I'm David.
And I'm John.
And this is a special trailer reaction recording that we're doing. John, before we get into that, I guess we should say that this is going to drop concurrently with our pre-recorded material that's coming out every Monday. Where are we in that segment, right? In that stuff right now?
This coming Monday, which is August 2nd, we're going to be diving into the elves, their origins, what they're like, and there's going to be a flow chart that you guys can follow. I'm going to do a TikTok on that too, and it'll help you sort of identify some of those factions of elves and understand where their motivations are.
Cool. And I guess this is just a quick reminder too that our last episode, which will drop the Monday before Rings of Power starts, you can send us feedback, questions, comments, predictions. You can bet some internet points if you want. And you can send those emails to secondage@baldmove.com. And then we'll collect all of those things. We're collecting things from the Discord as well. And that's a good reminder that if you go to baldmove.com, you can get a link to the Discord. And we have a Lord of the Rings channel in there where John and I are pretty active. And we got some great community members talking about all this kind of stuff. And I think we're releasing this just out on our Dug Too Deep and Lorehounds podcast feeds. So you want to make sure that you're subscribed to those, because I think in August we're going to have some more cool content that is going to be exclusive on those feeds.
Sure is.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the San Diego Comic-Con trailer, or something. Like, this is so confusing.
I think they finally ripped the trailer Band-Aid off. They're finally here. They're ready to be honest with us. I guess we know why they called it a teaser last time.
Right. Like, so we weren't sure that they were going to drop anything at San Diego. And the week before, they gave us a really meaty teaser, which was really good. And if that had been it, I would have been satisfied. But nope, they dropped something in Hall H, where they had a big panel and lots of press and media and exclusive images. And I guess this is the official trailer, and everything before has been teasers.
Yep, and Jim did ask us, are we going to cover it if they drop another trailer at San Diego Comic-Con, to which you said, I think we're going to have to. So here we are, everyone.
Exactly. Now, I think it's important to point out, this is there's a huge, just the volume of information is incredible. All of the still, I mean, up from when they first started till now, we have tons of production stills, we've got multiple teasers and little looks and articles and things like that. And last, for the main teaser, which is what that's called, we did a quick reaction. And then this time we said, hey, let's slow down a little bit. Let's take this, break it down. So, John, you put together a great PowerPoint. We've got screenshots, and we're going to go over this frame by frame almost.
Yep, we're going to have to go through it. There's a lot of really quick shots. I did my best to identify them. And for other ones, we can just speculate and have fun.
That sounds good. Okay, let's get started with our opening scene. And here we have a vision of Galadriel placing a helmet on a pile of helmets in a battle-scarred wasteland.
Yeah, she's looking pretty downtrodden here. I don't know what kind of battle this was, but I guess we're going to see something either in a flashback or in the present.
Interesting to note, she looks very clean, so this is not recent.
That's true.
And I don't wonder, we see a battle scene later and we'll talk about it. My personal theory is that this is the aftermath of that battle where we see a close-up of a guy fighting with some orcs.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah. All right, so then we next jump over to a shot of this forested elf city that we've seen before.
Yeah, I think that's somewhere in Linden again. Remember we talked about that last time where Gil-galad rules?
Right. Oh, and we should mention, too, we've got the dialogue, too. So when Galadriel was talking in the last one, she says, "We thought the war at last was ended." So there was a war. It's not over. They thought it was over, but it's really not.
Yeah, I think she's referring to the war with Morgoth at the end of the First Age, which was the big battle where most of Beleriand, which was the Elfhaven, was destroyed. And so they're like, hey, we could finally rest. It's the Second Age now. We got rid of the guy. He's in the void. And then she says, okay, well, maybe not.
Right. And I think this is setting up a central tension of the series, at least season one, is like there's an evil lurking out there and we don't know what it is or the nature of it or really what's going on. So I think that's going to play through this first season as a main plot point.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some denialists. Mm-hmm. It seems like Elrond might be a denialist based on the dialogue we saw in the teaser.
100%. Oh, and while we're on the subject of Morgoth, I think Morgoth is somehow in play. And remember, everyone, Morgoth is Sauron's boss, who was defeated in the First Age. But there was a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive image that I think that they played in the main hall that I haven't seen that image in any other materials. And it was a looming shadow of a creature over the trees, I think it was. And a lot of people think that was Morgoth.
Yeah, it might be in some kind of flashback, or maybe it's just symbolizing his influence still lingering.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But I'm hoping that they're not going to be like, oh, no, he's still in play. I think that the biggest thing about the Second Age is that Morgoth has just, like, ruined Middle-earth for a while, and it's really in disarray. And it's the influence of Morgoth and Sauron taking up that mantle that really is the main conflict.
Right. Okay, so then we jump over, and you think this is Linden, this next little forested city where we've seen before.
Yeah, I think so, and that was in the main teaser, too.
Right, and that here we hear Gil-galad saying, "Today, our days of peace begin," and then he places a crown of gold leaves on Galadriel's head, and she's surrounded by a group of knights.
Yeah, I'm wondering why he's giving her a crown. Now, there's a couple things it could be. She did found the capital city of Eregion, which is where Celebrimbor rules. Mm-hmm. So it could be maybe either him crowning her the ruler of there because he's high king of all these elves in the West, or it could be something happening with her going to Lothlorien and starting to rule there, although that usually is placed in the Third Age in the writings, but we could maybe see them fudging that a little bit.
So all of these knights that are standing around her, they all have the same gold leaf headband that she's wearing. And how many rings did the elves get? Three?
They just get three, yeah.
Okay, and, right.
We talk about that in, I think, the fourth chapter of the Second Age.
Right. I was just counting here because one of the other things that I noticed was in one of the previous teasers, there's some shots of some men crossing some frozen terrain. And I was trying to count to see, is this her party? Are they on some sort of mission? But this is like a peaceful coronation thing. So I'm not really sure what they're giving us here, whether they're saying, hey, you're in charge of this area now, or we're giving you a little blessing before you go off on this secret mission.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think that the ice bridge was the Helcaraxe that we talked about last time, which was, you know, this bridge that Galadriel and Fingon and some other elves of the Noldor that Feanor kind of spurned. That's how they got to Middle-earth instead of on the ships.
Right.
So I still think that's that. I could be wrong, but we'll see.
So then we hear Galadriel say, "We thought our joys would be unending, and we thought our light would never dim." And we've got a couple of shots here of a dinner party and some children running along a river, and then some sort of piece of cloth with a symbol that I haven't been able to make out. I think it may be some Numenorean men. I'm not sure. And then we get a picture of a boat facing the light. So let's break some of those down. Let's start with the dinner.
Yeah, so you can see who's in the dinner, at least partly. It starts off with Doran the Fourth. We think that's Doran the Fourth. It looks like the son of the king, Doran the Third. On the left, we then see Elrond sitting there. We can't see who's in the middle. Maybe it's Galadriel. Who knows? Then you got Celebrimbor and Gil-galad. And then there's people with their backs turned. They could just be extra elves. They could be main characters. Who knows?
Yeah, I think there's some... Oh, right, with the three people sitting. And looking at it, they're definitely in a forest setting.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the trees in the background. And I don't wonder if this has to do with the Mithril and Durin saying something to the in one of the previous teasers about this, you know, beginning a new age. So, you know, maybe there's some, you know, conversations happening here in terms of a new trade with this material.
Yeah, so the capital city of Eregion, where Celebrimbor rules, is literally next door to Khazad-dûm, which is what becomes Moria. So there was a good relationship between those two cities. So I'm sure that we'll see some kind of chummy conversation going on.
Well, certainly, and we have some shots of some visiting going the other way, too, to Khazad-dûm. So.
Right.
All right, so then we get a little shot of some children running along the river based on what they're wearing and this little boat. I guess some speculation is that these might be some elven children, but we're not sure.
Yeah, I think that's what they're telling us, but I'm not sure how they're going to portray elven children in this.
Somebody even made a suggestion out on the internet that this might be a Galadriel flashback, but who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I mean, I could see... I could see so many things being Galadriel flashbacks of just her in Valinor, her in Middle-earth earlier.
That sort of brings me to a general point, too, just about a lot of this stuff here that we've gotten so far, that I don't wonder if we're seeing multiple timelines here. Certainly, we're jumping around a little bit, but I don't wonder if we don't have, if they're not going to do what is kind of a popular thing in a lot of shows, where you've got overlapping timelines, and it's not necessarily flashbacks per se, right? It's not a character remembering something, but actually different timelines all being layered in the storytelling of the show.
Yeah, I could see like cold opens with the story of Feanor and the Silmarils coming to Middle Earth and things like that. I would love to see that. I hope they do.
So then we see this shot of some men, some males, actually, and I think they're men because you can see the ear of one of the guys and it's not pointed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're shaking out some sort of cloth that has a symbol on it. And that we can see a little, I don't know the technical nautical term of one of these things on the front of a ship, of a small boat. But based on what we can see what these guys are wearing, it seems Numenorean to me.
I think so. I think that's right.
Yeah.
But it's a little too quick to tell.
Yeah, it's a very quick shot. And then we have a picture, which we've seen a lot of these, of an elven ship sailing into a light with some white birds swirling around. And I'm pretty sure that that's Galadriel at the front of this ship.
I think so. Who knows where they're sailing, but I do think that that's some elves sailing somewhere.
That is definitely an ethereal light and a very specific light. I don't wonder if this is a tree. This is light from a tree.
Could be, or it could be like when the sun first rose or something like that.
Oh, that'd be interesting. That'd be cool.
Or it could be, it could even be, like you said, the trees, and it could be when the elves first went to the Undying Lands to see the trees.
Right, so this is where we're bringing in a lot of different potential storylines here.
Yeah.
And I think the editing of these trailers is definitely not misdirecting us, but they're interweaving a lot of different potential storylines.
Yeah, and again, we're going to be talking about the elves going to the Undying Lands on this coming Monday, so join us for Chapter 3 if you want to hear more about that.
Yeah, that was really helpful for me for not having known a lot about the deeper lore of elves, so yeah, it was really good for me too. Our next shot and voiceover, we have Sadok Barrows, who's an Harfort elder, and he's saying that the skies are strange.
Yeah, we don't know much about his character yet, since all the Harfoots are fan fiction. They're right. All non-canon. But, you know, I guess the skies are strange.
And I do like the brooch that he's wearing, this arrowhead thing. It almost makes me, I'll point out Arondir's later, but there's some interesting similarities there.
Yeah, I like a lot of the costuming. It's very unique.
Yeah. Then we have a quick cut of Arondir and Bronwyn standing under the meteor streaking across the sky. And I heard in an interview, a cast interview somewhere, that Arondir and Bronwyn are in the Southlands?
They named a fictional area where they both live.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly where it is, but they're both non-canon characters. Right. And they've crafted this elf-human relationship. I don't recall if there was ever a male elf and female human relationship before.
Okay.
But it seems interesting. We'll see what they do with it.
Sounds good. Okay, so then we cut over and we hear Queen Regent Muriel talking to Galadriel. She says, "It is here, Galadriel, the moment we feared." And we get a shot of a tower over a city at night. And then we cut to Muriel, the Queen Regent, and Galadriel. Muriel's revealing a Seeing Stone, one of the Palantiri, and Galadriel puts her hand on it, and we zoom into the Palantiri, and it starts to sort of ice over and crack, and then we go into a series of flashbacky style visions. At least that's what the editing is giving us, wanting us to feel like these are sort of visions and flashbacks.
Yeah, who knows how much they're misdirecting with these edits.
Yes. Now, I did see some some concern in the fandom that Muriel and Galadriel never met in the writings. Do you have a point of view on that?
Yeah, so they've dramatically expanded Muriel's role.
Okay.
Because she either didn't rule or only ruled for a very brief time, according to the writings.
Mm-hmm.
Her father, Tar Palantir, which, shares a name with the Palantiri.
Right.
He was the one who was really usurped.
Okay.
She was involved. She was basically, forced to marry somebody and to get that person onto the throne, but she wasn't really a ruler in her own right, at least not that we have in the writings. She was only briefly there. So they've just expanded it a lot. Galadriel, as far as I know, never went to Numenor.
Right.
So, yeah, this is just a totally non-canon thing, but I'm fine with it.
Yeah, and we're going to address some of these issues of fandom and people being upset sort of at the end of the here, but we certainly know that the showrunners are in communication with the Tolkien estate. There's been some publicly acknowledged information about that. I think one of the descendants of Tolkien is principally involved, and so I think they have a lot of room to fill in some of these details here. So,
yeah, one of his grandsons is directly involved with it. So,
right.
I feel good about how they're treating it so far. I haven't seen anything egregious.
Okay. Right. All right. So then there was an interesting thing, too. Just at the very end of the Palantir ice cracking, there's a shot of Galadriel that's just buried just at the very last second of her standing in a blue dress looking over her shoulder. So there's definitely some embedded edits in this whole teaser. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is. It's the same dress, it seems like, that she was riding a horse on.
Yes,
in the main teaser.
I totally agree. Yeah. So then we get into a series of cuts let's see here, where we see some orcs under some canvas. We see a big fight scene and some explosions between some people and probably some orcs. We see a man facing off against what we think is an orc. We get a cut from the red, we think, a water scene where somebody's got a spear through them.
Mm-hmm.
Galadriel over somebody who has passed away. And so let's talk about those really quick. This orc thing is very blurry and sort of atmospheric in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that could be any kind of battle. We have no context for this, so I guess we'll get some action scenes.
I do have some notes on this when we talk about orcs later, but notice the coverings. I think that's a very significant thing.
Mm-hmm. Like the odd robes that they're wearing and whatnot?
No, what's over them. See what's over them, that yellow and white stuff? We can talk about
interesting.
It. Interesting. Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about it when we get to... Because there's more shots where we can really see that much clearer.
Yeah.
Then we get this big battle.
I don't know who that man is in the middle of the battle.
Somebody said, I think these are elves. based on the helmets.
Oh, yeah, you know what? His ear does look a little pointy.
Mm-hmm. And the armor and the helmets.
Yeah.
And some comments on the internet say that this might be Galadriel's brother.
Hmm. Finrod, are they saying?
Yeah, I think.
Okay. So we should talk more about that with the shot of her over the body.
Yes, we should.
The next one we talked about a lot in the last teaser because that was in there. We think that's the first kinslaying. If you want to hear more about that, you can go back to the main teaser, or we do discuss it in this upcoming episode about the elves.
And I definitely, in that teaser recording, you said that you thought that this was underwater. And when I looked at this a lot closer, up at the center point there of that building that looks like it's going up, that definitely is water ripples. So I definitely agree that this is underwater.
Yeah, I don't think this is in the air at all. I think this is definitely water.
Yeah. Okay, so now Galadriel over somebody who has died.
Yeah, so I have two theories of this. One would be in line with that other theory that you mentioned, which is that it's Finrod, who is her eldest brother. He was killed by one of Sauron's werewolves, but also kills the werewolf and saves Beren from Beren and Lúthien.
Okay.
So that could be one. She could be, you know, mourning him. And he also has scratches on him,
yes.
So that would be in line with the werewolf thing.
Yes, looking at that bicep and onto his forearm like he got raked at one point. And there's something definitely on his chest and his head.
Yeah. My other theory, which is less plausible but still possible, is that it's Fingon, who is Galadriel's cousin, who led them through the Hel Caraxe that we saw.
Okay.
He was killed by Balrogs.
Interesting. Interesting.
So I could see them bringing him in a flashback so that Galadriel's like, hey, I know what serious a threat the people in Moria are facing.
Right.
Or I could see this whole Finrod thing.
Now, notice the dagger that's on his chest. I think that might be the dagger that we see in one of the, not production stills, but one of the publicity shots. There's a woman holding a dagger of some kind that has a sort of a two trees motif on the hilt. And I don't wonder if this is that dagger.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. So, all right. Next, we go to Galadriel saying that the evil does not sleep. It waits. And we have a scene of a tree. And then we have a scene of Muriel walking in the street. And I believe that's Farzone in front of her, looking up at the sky and seeing petals that, at least from the editing, they have indicated to us that the tree is shedding petals and that she's looking up at these as they're falling down on her.
Yeah, it could be that. So I think that that's Nimloth, the white tree of Numenor, that becomes the white tree of Gondor.
Okay.
And it looks like maybe the tree's in trouble, or maybe this is a natural thing that happens to the tree. I don't know.
Mm.
But we'll see.
Right. And then, so then we got Muriel looking up, and I bet that's Farazone there, and they're off to go do something.
Yeah. They've changed his character a lot, too.
Okay.
He seems to be more advisory in this. He's less make Numenor great again, and he's more slippery.
Okay. And I think we, somebody in the Discord today just posted about, Comrade Rosa just posted something about that and the conversation with the actor. So definitely I'm going to check in. I didn't get a chance before we started recording when I saw that comment pop. But there's some interesting stuff. The cast are talking about their roles and their characters. And so there's some more information that's out there and available to him.
Yeah.
So then we cut to a scene of this mysterious, whitely clad figure with two people standing on a cliff. And then we cut a close-up of that, what we think is that same person who a lot of people are calling 8 Mile Sauron. But I don't think we think that this is Sauron.
Will the real Sauron please stand up?
That was just a softball. I was just like, here, hit this.
yeah, it's not Sauron. They've confirmed that it's a woman.
Uh-huh.
And it's somebody in the cult of Sauron, it seems like, but not Sauron himself.
Oh. Cult of Sauron. So is that new?
So Sauron does start basically a death cult in Numenor.
Uh-huh.
But it's more direct than it seems to be here. I think that they're having him be a little bit more underground about it than he was in the books.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, it's definitely a cool antagonist that they're setting up here. I really love the shot of this actress here looking sinister. Like, that is such a great look that that is being given there. That it's just like, ooh, like, who is this? Like, this is not a good situation.
Yeah, I like the designs generally. I'm not sure how I feel about the buzz cuts generally. Uh-huh. I think that I've always appreciated the hair design in Tolkien in like the Peter Jackson movies and
sure.
and other things that I've seen in this show. So I don't love the fact that we have buzz cuts, but it works for this character, I think.
Okay. So then we cut, and I think we hear, it might be Durin the Fourth, the prince, saying, "Beyond the darkness, tempting shadow, to bury us all beneath the mountain." And then we get a series of cuts where I think this is a dwarf guard based on the helmet design walking through some doors. And again, I think the doors are very dwarven. Hmm. And then I think we see, was that Elrond being escorted across a bridge?
I think so. We had some debate on the main teaser over whether it was Elrond or Celebrimbor, but I think it looks mostly like Elrond in this shot.
Right. So we think that this might be Khazad-dûm, and we see some great walkways going around, and we got some other great shots from this before. So it'll be really fun. I'm really excited to see this dwarven city in like full activity, you know, and a place where it's actually lived in. I'm really excited to see how they bring that to life with all the magic, you know, of TV movie making.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things. I'm excited to see. Especially because we got to see the ruins of it in the Peter Jackson trilogy,
yeah.
And it'll be nice to see what it looked like in its glory.
Totally. So then we got a picture of Durin the Third, the current king, sitting in a throne, looking out over, probably Khazad-dûm, and then we see a shot of the two Durins talking. While this voiceover has happened, and when they're talking about darkness and shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, to bury us beneath the mountain. Huh? That's also very ominous as well, considering what we get at the very end of this trailer.
Yeah, yeah. It's spooky.
Yeah. All right, so then we cut to Galadriel saying he has not one name but many. That seems very Sauron-y.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then we get a series of Galadriel waking up in sort of a blast zone. And if you notice the picture of her eye, actually, when you watch the trailer, she's upside down because her eyelid opens the other way.
Hmm.
And
interesting.
And so I think she's been knocked over, and then we see her getting up, and then she's sort of in this, what I think is a village. Now, at the very end of this trailer, we see a scene of her standing, closing her eyes, and we see some wind gusting off. I think whatever detonated here leveled this village and knocked her down, and then that this is her waking up after this this detonation.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this. I mean, I can't imagine anything that I know about already that would leave Galadriel in this crazy situation.
Yeah, this is a wild situation. Like, it's a whole lot of people just got nuked, and she survived somehow. So,
mm-hmm.
Then let's see. I'm not sure. I think we just keep rolling here. Yeah, we keep rolling here with the dialogue. So that the last dialogue was just about he has not one name but many. Can you mention about Sauron and his many guises?
Yeah, so Sauron can shapeshift. He can choose his form. Pretty much all of the Ainur, the Valar and the Maiar, which again we got into on the prologue episode, they can pretty much all choose their form, except a few exceptions like the Istari. But Sauron at this point in time can still change his form a lot. He was the Lord of Werewolves in the First Age. He could take the form of a giant wolf. He could control werewolves in general. And in the Second Age, he was known to try to take on a fair form and sort of trick people into following him.
Okay. Interesting. Then we get a cut of this very evil-looking mountain fortress, and then some sort of symbol embedding itself in some ice. Thoughts on this?
So the fortress is interesting because it doesn't look like Barad-dûr.
Uh-huh.
I think it might be a flashback to Thangorodrim, which is a mouthful, but that is Morgoth's fortress, mountain fortress.
Yeah.
So I think that would be really cool if it is.
Yeah. And then we get a symbol. So that this symbol that starts to etch itself out on the ice, we're going to see it later. I really think it looks also like this sword that we're about to see. And it's also in the same shape as this fortress spires that are coming up.
Yeah, I could see this being sort of a symbol of Sauron. It's the maze of this this series.
Right.
The maze from Westworld.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Good point. Some puzzle box action. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
We're about 10 weeks out from House of the Dragon Season 2, and it's time to prepare for war.
Which in our case means, well, watching a lot of Hot D and reading a lot of Fire and Blood.
Each week between now and June 16th, Maester Anthony and his co-host Steve are hosting a watch of each episode of Hot D Season 1. And then me and Jim are going to host a discussion of the differences between the events on that episode and how they're recounted in George R.R. Martin's historical tome, Fire and Blood.
That's right, I've resorted to reading dragon books. God help us all. We'll see if my fresh eyes add any new insights or predictions into Season 2.
Arm yourselves with all the lore you can for the battles ahead. House of the Dragon returns June 16th, but we've got you covered until then.
Check out all of our upcoming Hot D coverage on the Hot D feed or on Bald Move Pulp, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Then we jump over and we have this unknown man grabbing the arm of a young teen and forcibly asking him, "Have you heard of him, lad? Have you heard of Sauron?" And we see him sort of jerking his arm, the old man jerking the arm of the young man who then looks up. And we think this is a character named Theo.
Yeah, so Theo is a character that, again, is non-canon, but it's the son of Bronwyn, so it's going to be a human kid. I think that that's him.
Okay, and we don't know who this guy is, but it seems like they're sort of in a desperate strait, and, you know, they're, you know, maybe unhoused kind of people or something, like something's going on, or refugees in some way. Something that I did notice is that the boy is looking, Theo is looking at his forearm. And when he gets his arm pulled, there's a quick cut somewhere where you can see like some black marks on his forearm. And my theory is when we get to the scene a little bit, when the sword reconstructs itself, I think he's been burned by that sword.
Yeah, so that sword looked a lot like a Morgul blade, like you saw in the Peter Jackson trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be, yeah, he was burned by that or something. I hope he wasn't stabbed by it, because otherwise a lot of things are going to happen.
Even being burned by that.
Yeah.
And then we have, I think, is this where Galadriel might say, if the evil rising is left unchecked, it will take us all. And then we jump cut to Bronn, who we think is Bronwyn, hiding in a closet. And then they cut again to a creature clawing its way up out of the ground, somehow coming up through a hole or something like that. And then they're making us believe that she's hiding from this creature.
Yeah, at least that's what the editing says, but they could do anything in a trailer, so we'll see.
I think this is some creature, some orc or something like that. I don't think this is Sauron, personally. I think this is a monster of some kind.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So then we cut to Theo holding a broken braid. It also reminds me a lot of Narsil in the Peter Jackson movies when Aragorn is looking at that sword in some ways. But then it starts to reconstruct itself sort of in fire and smoke.
Yeah, I really do think this is a Morgul blade of some kind. Who knows where it came from?
Can you give some lore about what a Morgul, quote-unquote, Morgul blade is? I mean, we know of them from the movies, but, like, what's a little bit of lore on those?
Yeah, they're a little mysterious. Frodo is basically told that after he's been stabbed, he'll become, like, all spirit. He'll be, like, in the spirit world and become a wraith, basically. If it's allowed to infect him further and allowed to go farther. What the elves do for Frodo is they postpone that indefinitely. But as we see at the end of The Lord of the Rings, he still has to go to the Undying Lands to totally be free of it.
Do we know how Morgul blades are constructed, or how they're, you know, what their intended purpose is? Or is it a Morgul blade just like, oh, it came from, you know, XYZ blade shop, and that shop is called the Morgul shop or something?
Well, Minas Morgul is the city that was once Minas Ithil. It was Isildur's city, mm-hmm. and then it was taken over by the forces of Sauron, which we talked about in the last episode of the Second Age.
But so
that's where they're coming from. I'm not sure how they're created, but it's some kind of evil Sauron magic.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so then we, let's see here, we jump to some people walking through a frozen wasteland. We see, it almost looks like an anvil, a stone anvil to me, and we see this symbol that we think is somehow related to Sauron, again, etching itself in ice on a piece of stone.
I mean, I'm wondering if maybe Sauron was starting to do some ring experimentation and it left that mark on it.
Notice how flat it is, and then it's kind of broken in that one spot.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of that kind of object.
Yeah, I could see that.
Then we see some people in the dark. These guys are actually holding swords. At first, I thought they were bows and arrows, but it's actually a blade that he's got.
Oh, you're right.
The front two people are holding blades, yeah. And then somebody in the back has a bow.
Yeah, I was tricked.
And I don't wonder if these are elves.
I
think the armor.
I don't think so. I think they're men.
Okay.
Just the the armor, especially the head part. That looks very they're telegraphing men to us. It could be that the person in the back with the hood in the bow is an elf. Maybe it's an alliance.
Okay. Should we bet some internet points?
We'll try.
We have a new internet point sticker on the Discord, so that's kind of a fun little thing. We've got a scene now of a giant ice block being thrown at some people, and there's actually something in the ice if you look at this a little bit closer. There's seems like a body may be entombed in the ice.
Huh. Yeah. I wonder what that is. It could be a body.
Yeah. So there's some conversation that is this, you know, one of the questions is this related to the ice troll battle that we see, we've seen in some of the other teasers.
Right.
Okay. Then we've got a ship exploding.
That's no good. it looks very Numenorean around there. So I think that's all that is.
Yeah. That notice that long narrow prow that seemed to be the design of the Numenorean ships, where the Elven ships seem to have more of a swan's neck bow to the front.
Yeah, and the architecture around looks like it has not a lot of greenery, but a lot of like fancy
port city.
So I think that this is Numenor.
And then is some of the armor too that some of these guys, and I was wondering even if like Isildur or one of, you know, some of those folks were there, or maybe these are just some townsfolks. I don't know, but those breastplates look very much like what we've seen Isildur wear.
Yeah, it could be like the Kingsmen, the pro Sauron faction burning the ships of the faithful. I could see that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I totally would go into for that. Then we cut to a scene of Bronwyn hugging her son, and we hear her say, "Find the light, and the shadow will not find you." This is, I think, the next two lines, this line and the next one that comes up, I think are the two weakest lines of this script here, but whatever.
That's all right. We'll forgive them a few.
Yeah. And then next we see a sinister scene. A silhouetted figure walking through amongst some strangely clad creatures.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know what these are. You say you think they're orcs, right?
Yeah, totally. I think this might be Sauron. I mean, if you look at that hand, those short nails, that gauntlet, and then you see all these creatures sort of deferring and bowing. So... And then we see that canopy of skins or blankets or whatever they are that's hanging under this sort of World War I style trench warfare, very Tolkien history.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see like one of them's wearing, it looks like a horse skull. Other ones are wearing sort of fashioned things. Isn't it, correct me if I'm wrong, don't orcs not like the sunlight?
They I think don't prefer it, but they can go out in it. I mean, you see even in the Lord of the Rings, they're chasing the Fellowship during the light.
Right, but those are hybrids, the Uruk-hai that what's his name made?
Yeah.
So I think that these are orcs who can't be out in the light, and then this is how they cover themselves to be able to, you know, operate during daylight hours.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. So then we cut to a scene of, is this Halbrand walking out in a very Numenorean-looking location?
Yeah, it looks like him. He's got some soldiers or guards next to him.
And notice the sunburst motif that the shield that they have on their shields. That's something that we've seen a lot with the Numenoreans. Oh, and then notice... See those two round circle designs on either side of the frame?
Uh-huh.
I would bet dollars to donuts that design pattern is on the piece of cloth that we saw earlier in the trailer when some men were shaking out a piece of cloth.
Oh, yeah. That would make a lot of sense. I would like that.
Yeah. Then we've got a scene of who we don't know. I don't think that this is Bronwyn. We've got a woman standing on some sort of balcony thing, and she's exclaims... to that if together we can survive this, and Arondir is standing next to her.
Yeah, so the reason that I thought it was Bronwyn is that Arondir is right next to her, and that's her love, that's her partner.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really look that much like her, but also it's such a quick shot, it could be her, just at a weird angle. So the other option is that it's Aarion, I think that's how they're going to pronounce it, which is this fictional sister of Isildur that they seem to have replaced his canon brother with.
Okay.
So it's, I think it's one or the other.
Got it. And then we got a nice shot of Arondir's armor, his breastplate here. It's very, and I know in the previous podcast we talked about, that was very Green Knight, or it's very whatever, but that's very Entish too, right?
Yeah, I like it a lot. I like the Sylvan Elf design.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks very woody and very into, yeah, it looks very cool. Then we see a shot of somebody holding up a sword over a crowd. We don't really know what's going on here, but again... I think this sword is an elven designed sword, because I see this design in some other shots, and we've got one shot coming up where where Galadriel is holding a sword that is very similar. The pommel and the hilt are very similar.
Yeah, the tricky thing is that the Numenoreans learned a lot of their crafts from the elves, so it could be either one, but I could see it being elvish.
Right. Or is this a sword that, like, somebody picked up?
Right.
Then we got this cut of this nighttime shot where we've got a group of elves raising their swords in what looks to be some sort of oath.
I think that's the Oath of Feanor. We talked about that last time, right. But yeah.
Yeah. Then we hear Galadriel saying, fight with me, as she boards a ship. And if you look, you can see the sword that she has in her hand. That looks a lot like the sword from the previous cut. And then she's also wearing the dagger, which I think was on the body of the man that she was standing over who had died earlier.
Yeah, I agree with both of those.
Yeah. And these are this is Numenorean men standing on this ship, I believe, this armor design.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Which makes sense if she's going to visit Tar Miriel.
Right. So then she clasps somebody's hands. Again, that looks like the backdrop of that looks very much like they're on the ship. So she's greeting somebody on that ship.
Yeah.
Then we have, I think, what the lamest scene of this is of Arondir dropping down from a high point onto some sort of wall battlement type thing, and then kicking a stone.
He's just kicking rocks.
Yeah, he's kicking rocks. I think it's the weakest wire CGI work that we've seen so far come out of any of these trailers. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You know, yeah. I think this scene is, remember in one of the other teasers where we saw a line of orcs coming up a battlement? They're, at night, they're all holding torches and such?
Yeah.
I think that's this scene, this fight.
I think you're right. So maybe he's just pushing it onto those orcs.
Mm-hmm. Then we get a shot. We hear Queen Regent Mariel say, each of us must decide who we shall be. And then we see her in some sort of formal ceremony.
Yeah. I really like the crown that they made for her.
Yeah, it's very
It's not cool. super canon, because usually the Numenoreans would have sort of a jewel above their brow. But I still like it.
As a fellow parent, do you notice what she's carrying in her arms?
Is that a little swaddle?
Looks like a baby. That's how you would hold a baby.
Yeah, it is.
So I have no idea what that could be about, this scene is about. But then we have the white petals floating down around again.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's an extension of the scene. Maybe that's where her and Farisona are going.
Mm-hmm. Then we cut to a scene of Queen Disa. Singing, leading a group of other dwarves in some sort of ceremony.
Yeah, I don't know if they're doing a song or a chant or something, but it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, and this is the first time we see not just a still image of a female dwarf, but actually a moving image of them. So this is really cool. We're going to open up dwarf culture and life to an extent that I don't think we've seen before. Then we see Durin the Fourth looking at a crystal, what we think is Mithril.
I think that's Mithril, because that's what they were mining when they awakened the Balrog. So, mm-hmm. and we see later, we'll get to it, the veins of it, it seems like.
Right. And we heard in a previous teaser him saying that this is the dawn of a new age. And we see a hammer smashing scene where they break a piece of rock. I bet that's them trying to break a piece of Mithril.
Yeah.
All right. Then we see a scene here. I'm not sure where the voiceover cuts in there. Oh, wait. Let me jump back. We see a picture of Bronwyn and Arendir. And then we see a battle charge, which we've seen a bunch of these scenes before, of a cavalry charge with Galadriel at the front. And then we see some orcs running through the forest at twilight.
Yeah, it looks like the female orcs that we've been seeing.
Okay, right. And they've got those different sort of... I really am excited to see the practical armor that they outfit a lot of these folks in.
It looks super cool.
And these actors in. Yeah. Then we end with a scene of a sea creature of some kind and Galadriel's shipwreck and she's swimming away. Thoughts, ideas?
I have no idea what that is. I don't know of anything in the Legendarium that would explain that. I hope that they have something good. I mean, well, you have the creature in the lake in front of Moria in the Lord of the Rings. So it could be, it's not like sea creatures are outlandish in Tolkien. It's just, I don't know of anything that could be specifically.
Any kind of water dragons? Because we do have dragons in Middle Earth, right? Not many.
I don't think that there's anyone except Smaug at this point.
Okay. Then we cut to a scene. I think we have a voiceover of Dur. It sounds like Dur in the Fourth again, saying there can be no trust between hammer and rock. Eventually, one of the other must surely break. And then we see some Numenorean soldiers marching. We see a scene in front of what looks like to be a Numenorean city.
Mm-hmm.
Notice those banisters in the back there on that gate tower. They're in blue with that sunburst pattern. But then if you notice, there's some other little designs in the middle of them. So I'm wondering if these are like sort of individual sigils of some kind.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and then there's a man on a horse, and I don't wonder if that's Halbrand as well.
I think that is Halbrand. It looks very much like him, at least.
Okay. Then we got a picture of Durin the Fourth doing that. It's another one of those little things that bother me, that little fist in the air to signal stop when you're on patrol and you don't want to say something. Very annoying. That it's a tropey. It's a silly trope.
Well, I am sorry that they've angered you.
But I love the dwarf helmet armor that's standing behind him. That looks really, really cool.
Yeah, that's super cool. Is that armor or is that like a statue? Or
that's armor.
Actually, yeah, no, you're right. I can see the eyes through it. I can see a little bit of skin through it.
Yeah, totally a piece of armor. All right, and then we go into the final sequencings here. We see a picture of Meteor Man. And then Meteor Man with a young Nuri, it looks like.
Yeah, I think so. It's at least somebody little.
Yeah, I think that's confirmed. I think some people have taken some shots and talked to the actress, okay. and we're pretty sure that that's Nuri, one of the Harfoots. Mm. And she's the one standing in front of a wagon with some scrolls that are tucked in underneath the wagon.
Right.
Yeah. So Harfoots, that's a big question. We don't know what they're going to do, how they're going to be used. I think they're going to be somehow pivotal. They're going to have some secret knowledge or some connectivity to some deeper forces at work in at play in the world.
Yeah, again, I will be a little bit troubled if they're heavily involved with what's going on with Sauron, because that doesn't make sense for the Third Age, but I don't know.
Okay, we'll see. Then we've got a fight scene with Arondir fighting what I think are orcs. And if you notice, they're wearing those white cloak things again. And I bet that's skin. And I bet that's what they use to shield themselves from the sun. Mm,
that'd be cool. Yeah, this fight scene looks pretty cool. I like the chain fighting.
Yeah. And there's other people in here, too. There's another guy in the background with an axe. So it looks like there's, like, is this sort of a prison break situation? Maybe I can see a cut tree. And I don't wonder if they're using them as labor to do something, right? You know, using them as conscripted labor.
Yeah. Especially what we see later with him, with the hands grabbing him.
Yeah. Then we cut to a scene of what I think is Meteor Man. And if you look in the background of the forest here, there's some Harfoots there.
Yeah. So I think that's the stranger that they're talking about.
Yes.
It doesn't look very Sauron-y, but again, Sauron can change shapes, so.
Yeah, and I think this is a very much misdirected cut scene here, because they sandwich this in the middle of Arondir fighting with these orcs. And so, I don't know, is Meteor Man the stranger? Is the stranger Meteor Man? Or
We don't know yet.
We don't know yet. So, then we see a scene of Arondir falling backwards and some more of these cloaked figures. And then they show us a picture of an orc, again, wearing this white clothing and some sort of helmet and underneath this canopy here.
Yeah. I think that's the female orcs they've been playing up.
Right. Then we cut to a scene of a village where there's like a gust of wind. And then we see Galadriel close her eyes. And whether these two scenes are connected or not, I feel like they might be. And then, like, this is this detonation that happens, and then where we see her waking up in red a little bit later.
Right. Yeah, I could see that, actually, now that you're saying that. Especially, you could see sparks in the shot with Galadriel. And then the next shot that I'm sure you're about to bring up has some sparks in it as well.
Notice her sword design, too. See that pommel? And it's very similar to the one that was being held up in that group of people earlier on where they say, together we can survive this.
Yeah.
So, and then we come to this cult of Sauron person blowing some sparks out of their hand.
Yeah, so I wonder if that is connected, like we just said.
Mm. Or is this something else? I have a little pet theory as well. Then we cut to some scenes of what we think are veins of Mithril.
Don't keep me in suspense. What's your pet theory?
Oh, my pet theory is... So then the next scene after that... Oh, and we hear the voiceover, right? You've been told many lies of Middle-earth, and that's the final piece of dialogue. So we see this person blow sparks out of their hands. We see these dark veins of Mithril going, and then we see a leaf that was blown out of the hand fall into the ground and burst into flame.
Yes.
Is this something related to, is this some sort of spell or some sort of incantation? That at least, you know, I mean, who knows what in reality, but like the trailer makes me feel like this is the Balrog.
Yeah, I think it could be awakening the Balrog.
Yeah, I'm totally wager some internet points on that. Then we get a final jump cut, you know, scare cut of Arondir looking really nervous and backing into some roots, and then he gets pulled back into the roots.
Yeah, he got a little sweaty there. But he's okay now. Yeah. He's nice and safe in the arms of an angel.
Right. I don't know if this is him being rescued or if this is him being captured.
Didn't look very rescue-y to me, but...
Yeah. If this is rescue... Well, you know, they do that, right? That's a jump scare thing, right? It's like, oh, you know, and then it's like, oh, no, you're safe. It's okay. And if he is being rescued, then I think it's an ent that's rescuing him. Because we did see ents.
There's a theory that there's entwives.
Yes. There's definitely some evidence of that, even an ent child.
Yeah.
There were some production stills that showed some ent creatures. Or stills or clips.
That would be very interesting.
Yeah. And then we get the stinger at the end of a Balrog igniting into flame out of the darkness.
He's spicy.
Very. Hot take. Hot takes at ballmove.com. No wings on this Balrog.
Yes, so far we haven't seen it, but who knows what they'll do in the end.
Right. This is a packed, very dense, packed trailer.
It is. We had 83 shots we talked about.
Oh my gosh. Incredible. And yeah, and it's like we've got, you know, potential multiple overlapping storylines and timelines. So they've given us a lot of information. It's a lot to process.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more excited after watching this trailer than I was before, and the main teaser had already gotten me pretty excited, so I'm really looking forward to see what they do with this. It seems like there's a lot going on in season one, and I wasn't sure how slowly they were going to pace this story, so I'm excited to see it. I'm really looking forward to finally getting my hands on it on September 2nd, and excited to talk to you about it.
Yeah, this is going to be very cool. I'm excited to see not only the canon stuff coming to life, but also the new stuff that they're going to bring forward with the storylines.
Yeah, same here.
All right, so we have one thing we want to talk about. One last thing we want to talk about, John. And it's a little bit of a... It's not a delicate topic. It's a pretty clear-cut topic, but it is a, I think, painful but important topic to talk about.
Yeah.
There has been a lot of strong reaction on the internet that we're seeing that is blatantly racist.
I agree.
And I think, you know, you and I have talked about this. We've talked with some other people about it. We just want to call that kind of stuff out here, that you know, that this cloaking oneself in the purity of what Tolkien wrote and what's canon and what's not canon, criticizing actors of color who are playing these different roles. A lot of this just descends very quickly into misogyny and racism. And I think we just want to be very clear that that is no part of what we do or what we believe. And I think we just wanted to make a clear stand on that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I don't want to give more air to this than it deserves because it deserves zero air. So really all I want to say about it is, this show is going to be good or it's going to be bad, but the skin color of the actors is not going to make it go either way.
Right. And nor any of this sort of purity to Tolkien's writings. as code words for racist and white supremacist ideologies.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, Tolkien was a flawed man himself. He got into colonialism at some points. He used some racist tropes at some points. He also had some good parts of him. He openly rebuked the Nazi Party when they asked him to prove his heritage. And I think that we can look at Tolkien's work, critique it, take what's good from it, leave what's bad from it, and move on as a fandom and try to just appreciate the show for what it is and appreciate the amazing actors that they've gotten for this.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's an important thing, too, is that we can be critical of an author while still being fans of the work. And it's up to us to be able to separate those out from each other and identify those things which, as a society and a culture, we're moving on from versus, you know, enjoying the work as it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool. All right, John. Well, thanks for taking some time. This is a huge trailer. Like you, I'm really excited to see where we go with season one here.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this. I'm excited for everyone to hear the rest of our lore episodes, and I'm excited to start covering the actual show.
Okay. Well, next podcast will be on Monday, August 2nd. And until then, you can find us on the Discord. And thanks for tuning in.
The Second Age podcast is produced by the Lorehounds and published by Bald Move.
You can send questions and feedback about this podcast to secondage@baldmove.com. For more Rings of Power content, subscribe to Dug Too Deep on your favorite podcast app.
Ad-free versions of this and all other Bald Move podcasts can be yours by going to patreon.com/baldmove. Check the show notes for reading recommendations and more info. Thanks for listening.